Our sponsor today is Stuart McDonald. I don't have a script here, but I can say that StuMac.com has pretty much anything and everything you would ever need to fix up an old acoustic or electric instrument or a new one. They've got replacement volume knobs, they've got hide glue, they've got pick guards, nuts, saddles, and so much more. In the 11 years of doing the magazine, I can say without exaggeration, we've seen StuMac tools everywhere in every workshop we've ever visited, from Taylor guitars on down to the little guys churning out 5 guitars a year. StuMac also has guitar making kits, so if you want to go down the slippery rabbit hole of guitar building, you can build your own instrument with a guitar kit from StuMac and have pretty much everything that you will need. They have a dreadnought style, a triple O, I think they have a dulcimer, they probably have a mandolin kit, and you can get that kit, you can say goodbye to your loved ones, head into the garage, and be seen months later with a beautiful instrument. Go to StuMac.com and tell them that the Fretboard Journal sent you. Welcome to the Fretboard Journal's 100th podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I feel like celebrating. I can't believe we've hit 100 episodes, so let's have a giveaway. I will give away a Fretboard Journal subscription or 1-year subscription renewal to someone I choose at random. Just email me at jason@fretboardjournal.com with podcast in the subject line. I will pick a winner on March 31st, 2016, my birthday, and I'll let you know if you're a winner. Today we are doing something a little different from the norm. We are interviewing a builder, as we often do on this show, but we are also going to be starting a little bit of a series that we've been hinting at. At the Fretboard Summit back in November, we met a young builder named Drew Heinonen. I don't expect you to know about him. He is at the very beginning of his solo career as a builder. He was working for Dana Bourgeois before, as well as Jim Olson, and we actually have a story about Drew on our website right now if anyone wants to go to fretboardjournal.com. Drew met us at the summit. He was inspired and had a great time and offered to build us a guitar. And rather than just take a free gift, as much as I love free gifts, I thought we could have some fun with this and actually chronicle the process via our podcast from start to finish, from us placing the order and figuring out what the heck kind of guitar we're going to get, to checking in with Drew as he's building the thing, sourcing parts, sourcing materials, and then us receiving the guitar. We will be hoping to complete this in time for the next Fretboard Summit, which is in October in San Diego, California, at the Rancho Bernardo Inn. You can go to fretboardsummit.com to get details on that. But yeah, this is the first installment. We're going to be checking in with Drew a couple times a month, probably. We're going to be posting some photos on our website, and hopefully just having fun figuring out what the heck kind of guitar we're going to be ordering. We definitely want this to be a community effort. So if anyone out there wants to play this thing when it's done or try it out, you can do so by coming here or meeting us at the summit. We also are going to be hitting you guys up for advice on our Facebook wall, as well as via Twitter and via email for advice on what we should do. We're going to be debating between a couple of different tone woods, I think. We're going to be looking for raw materials for this thing as well. So if anyone's sitting on a hoard of amazing tone woods or vintage Grover tuners or God knows what, speak up. Maybe we'll buy them off you. This is going to be fun, I think. And we get a guitar at the end of it, which is great. I love that. And I hope you enjoy this process. Before we get to it, I do want to say Fretboard Journal 35 is out now. Go get it if you haven't yet. It's at every Barnes & Noble. It's at a lot of great guitar stores across the nation, as well as on fretboardjournal.com. Danny Barnes is on the cover, and there's a lot more. We're hard at work on issue 36, and I can tell you that Derek Trucks is on the cover of that. So if you are a Derek Trucks fan, now might be the time to subscribe, and you will see that in early May. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening to 100 podcasts that we've put out there. I know they've been all over the map in terms of scope, and as always, we're a little eclectic, and you guys have stuck with us. I can't thank you enough. Here's to 100 more, and if you like our podcast, we do hope that you will go on to iTunes and subscribe, as well as give it a nice rating, and if you really love it, share it with your friends on Facebook or wherever else you share things. Thanks so much. So, Drew, we're going to order a guitar from you, but before we do that, I want to hear a little bit more about you. I know for a lot of our readers and listeners, you're kind of an unknown entity. Can you tell me a little bit about how you became a guitar maker?
Yeah, I started as a player. That was kind of my roots. And it was right around 2005 that I took a course in the physics of sound while at college and really got hooked on acoustics and kind of everything that was going on there. And it was through there that I found the Luthry School in Red Wing, Minnesota, and went through the program there. And that brought me to the shop of Dana Bourgeois. And I had the pleasure of working out in his shop for 4.5 years or so. And then that eventually led to working with the infamous Jim Olson for a couple of years.
Now, what were you doing at Dana's shop?
I bounced around a little bit, kind of working on some necks for a little while, and kind of generally settled down into the body department, and specifically in the binding. So after the bodies came together, kind of finishing them up before they went into the finish department. That was kind of my specialty in his shop.
And was the goal all along to eventually build your own guitars?
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of been my goal and vision for throughout my career. And I've been very fortunate to work alongside a lot of great luthiers and pick up a lot of tricks along the way and kind of study as much as I can and pick up bits here and there along the way.
And what about working for Jim? You just sort of did everything under the sun?
Yeah, pretty much. In his shop, it was just the two of us. And so it was basically from starting the process, laying out the shapes onto parts and making parts, and then all the way through to putting strings on and stringing them up and hearing the bodies come to life for the first time.
Amazing. And what did you learn from, say, your time with Jim or with Dana that you would have never learned at Red Wing? I'm just curious in terms of what you learned from the hands-on and dealing with customers and all that.
Oh, I really everything. the schooling laid a great foundation. It gave me a better understanding. When I started, I had done minimal woodworking, that was more so getting used to using the tools that are necessary and even maintaining the hand tools and such. And there was definitely a great kind of foundation laid in the school, but I think the majority of my learning actually happened after that, whether it was in Dana's shop or Jim's shop. And it's, I think, some of the most valuable lessons that I took out of those experiences was kind of the processes of building and how to build in an efficient manner, and yet what are the important features of design when it comes to both thinking about an instrument tonally and aesthetically speaking.
Great. And I know you are kind of redoing your shop right now or building it out.
Yep.
How many guitars have you actually built to date?
I am at of an actual Drew Heinonen guitar. I have finished 15. But during my time out at Dana's shop, I had my hands on about 1,500.
Yep.
And then in Jim's shop, it was about somewhere in the 80 to 90 range. So adding all those up, it gets to a big number. But as far as my own instruments, it's a substantially smaller number.
And how are folks finding you these days? How are the first 15 guys finding you?
A lot. I'd say the majority of about half of those sales have been through dealers. I have guitars at several dealers currently. And then also, I mean, people that just knew me personally. And then I've had a few people that I'm not exactly sure how they came to hear about me or find me, but they're finding me.
Nice.
Whether it's through Facebook or just searching online.
All right. Now, as a player, and thinking about us as maybe a potential customer, what's your favorite style of guitar that you're building right now?
I have been enamored in the last few years, personally, by smaller body instruments. But as far as a builder, I really kind of appreciate a lot of the different intricacies of the different bodies and styles of body for different playing methods.
Sure.
And so it's hard to really put my finger on, I think that this is, you know, the best guitar. I've built, to date, I've built a lot of OMs of my own instruments, partially because that's really what I first started building. And so I've been just following that thread.
Sure.
But I'm also at this point planning on venturing off and building more slightly larger SJ body styles, and then up to, I am looking forward to sizing up to a full dreadnought style as well.
So have you worked with a lot of customers so far, or have the most of the 15 guitars been kind of a spec deal?
Most of them at this point have still been on spec. I've had a few, and I have a few currently right now that I'm working with customers on, and so those are building to the custom specifications that the customer would set.
Okay, so we get to be your first high maintenance customer.
Right.
Well, you know, we talked to you at the Fretboard Summit, which you were attending, and you know, as part of the goodie bag in the Fretboard Summit swag bag, we had this these random pieces of spruce that came from our friends at Pacific Rim Tone Woods, and that was sort of the initial, I guess, icebreaker talking to you about building a guitar was, you know, hey, I think I could make a guitar out of this. Was that kind of how it went down?
Yeah. That was, and then kind of sorting through the stack that remained at the end.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to ask for a guitar with defective wood, so we might replace that with better wood that wasn't meant to be a cheese cutting board or something. But yeah, what are the questions that you normally would ask a client who's calling you up to, say, order an OM guitar?
Right. Well, I mean, in designing an instrument, my questions are going to be kind of geared in two different parallel aspects that I'm going to try to think about at the same time. One is the tonality of the instrument. How does it function as an acoustic instrument? Does it match the playing style of the player? And then also think about it aesthetically on a visual aspect. Does this match their idea or what they want in a beautiful instrument? This is functional art. Highly functional art, and you know, in the same way that everybody has their idea of what a cool car is, they have we have our ideas of what goes into a great guitar, both in the car metaphor, under the hood and on the outside. So, so I'm going to be trying to think of those two things simultaneously. I would first be kind of asking, what is your playing style? How do you intend to use this instrument to make music? Do you envision more so digging into this with a pick and playing more in a bluegrass style or strumming? Or is this going to be more of a light-handed finger style instrument that is going to be more so played at home or kind of accompanying something in a more mellow way than digging in with a pick.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other questions? And then I'm going to answer all these too.
Okay. I like to find out if there are any instruments that they really love, that they've been inspired by, or that they've looked to in the past and said, like, that is the type of instrument that I want. Mm-hmm. To get an idea of what their idea of a great guitar is, and see if we can kind of work with that and get in some inspiration for that. I like to know if they have any ideas on tone woods themselves, what sort of knowledge they have coming into it, if they have preferences. I definitely, depending on some of their other answers, I might have recommendations on certain tone woods to use or say not use, but just knowing if they have a preference or if they have preconceived notions coming into it is helpful on my end. I think other questions that would come up later would be more design related, if there's an aesthetic to the instrument that they want to go for, so whether they're inlays or customizations that they want to make. In my mind, those come a little bit later in the design process.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still ones that will eventually need to get answered.
Sure. And we've got a fretboard summit happening in October. Do you think we're going to be able to get this done in time for that?
I sure hope so. That would be ideal.
Well, you've convinced me. So, you know, playing style, I think what I would love to do, and I want to have fun with this, and I want you to have fun with this, and I am going to be hitting up our readers and our Facebook fans and podcast listeners for some advice on what they're looking for. But, you know, I kind of want this to be a community effort. But in my head, you used a car analogy a few minutes ago. Do you know much about cars?
a fair bit.
All right. So Paul Newman had this Volvo that he squeezed a like 5-liter Ford V8 engine into, and he made a few of these. I think David Letterman still has one, and I love the idea of it being sort of a sleeper soccer mom car that could, you know, burn up a racetrack. And I love that idea for guitars as well. I'm not a blingy guy. I would love it if everything we thought about was really, you know, how do we make an interesting performance-based guitar, and maybe not worry about aesthetics and not worry as much about the blingiest wood imaginable.
Right.
Really just focus on performance. And, you know, I definitely want this to be a guitar that we have around the Fretboard Journal offices and that we record with. A lot of our guys use picks, so I definitely think thinking along those lines versus more of a fingerstyle guitar.
Okay.
I love the classic OM look. And, you know, wood-wise, I think we should brainstorm and loop back and think about some domestic woods that are kind of unsung heroes or that people haven't really played with as much. We do have all those spruce tops we can use, which is great. But for back and sides, I'd be curious to do some investigating and look at some of these black locust woods and maybe some white oak, and just see what's feasible and what's sane and what won't drive you bonkers.
Right.
And what won't get us arrested if we decide to take this up to Whistler or go to Canada for a weekend. So that's where my head is at.
Okay. Yeah. I think that those ideas sound great. And I'm definitely open and on board for going in the direction of doing something, that's slightly alternative, in the Tonewood side. I know during the summit, there was the presentation that was on the Kiawe, is that?
Kiawe.
And so that, as I was kind of thinking about it, just as something that was coming as a presentation during the summit, and this idea coming from being kind of born out at the summit, that struck me as an interesting idea of using that just for almost the continuity of of the idea.
Did you get to play those guitars?
I did not.
Okay. Did you see them?
I did.
Okay. Yes. And what did you think?
I really liked the color to it. I didn't get a chance. I mean, I didn't get a chance to really dig into them and play them personally. So, I guess I didn't have a too strong of a impression from them.
Sure.
Off the bat, just on a with the limited contact that I did have with them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought about that as well. I think that could be a great wood choice. I want to do some research. I want to hit up some of our readers and get some of their advice. But, yep. You know, one of the things I always hear about from builders is like, oh, I love this wood, but unfortunately no one wants to buy it. And
right.
So here's an opportunity. Let's build a guitar that maybe nobody else but the Fretboard Journal would buy, but we want to turn the world onto it. Yeah, so next steps. What are our next steps?
Well, I think the next steps at this point is to kind of nail down those the decisions of what woods we're going to use. It sounds on my end like we're going to lean towards an OM.
Yep.
That is going to be able to handle and stand up to a good strum, hard, possibly hard, heavy-handed, but also hopefully responsive to a light touch as well, but specifically kind of designed for handling the flat pick. With a relatively simple aesthetic design, not a lot of bling. So I think it'll kind of be hashing out what the woods that we're going to use, and then that can get us going quite a ways until we have to make the final decisions on the aesthetic design, kind of the purfling scheme and the binding scheme. And then we can kind of look at the neck and kind of do the same thing there.
Sounds like we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. Before I hang up on you, final question, just so I know, what has been the most inspiring guitar you as a builder have played in the last few years?
I think I got a chance to play a guitar that Chris Eldridge had on tour a couple months ago, and that I think that instrument was, as far as tonally speaking, that was quite a beast. I think up there on the list would be the chance of having David Crosby's 1969 D45 in my hands at the Fretboard Summit.
Yeah.
That was pretty inspiring. And then there's an instrument that a friend of mine has around here. It's a no-name old parlor guitar that I just am in love with. And anytime I can get my hands on that thing, I'm always inspired by it.
Great. All right, Drew, just combine those three elements into our guitar and we'll all be happy.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to do some research on wood. I'm going to make a follow-up phone call with you soon, and I'm going to throw some ideas your way.
That's great. And I also look forward to hearing what some of the listeners and readers have to input to this as well.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Great.
This is going to be fun.
Yes, definitely. Thank you, Jason.
All right. Bye-bye.